You seem to be missing somebody.
Yeah,
Where is Pastor Paul? I know.
What is he doing? Oh, my goodness sakes. Pastor Paul. Looks like you've got a few things in your hand.
Thank you. Oh. You ever try and balance everything in your life? It's ridiculous. I got this book. I got to read from it, get my sermon ready.
The one for today?
I work ahead, okay?
Okay.
And I got to stay buff. I got to stay buff, you know? And I don't know when I'm going to get my exercises in. And then I got to do our family budget to make sure we've got enough money. And Karen and I always have to make sure we have healthy meals at our house. And then I got to find some time for the fun stuff in life, you know? Break out the old metal detector and dig up the treasures. But there's so much to do, I don't think I can do it all.
Well, I know what you mean, Pastor Paul. Now that I've got two little kids, I feel like there's never enough time to get what I need done. I have to work, I have to get dinner ready, I have to take care of Bennett and Anna, and a million other things. Sometimes I feel like it's so hard to get everything done or to do anything well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a common problem for all of us today, right? You know, there are some things out of balance in my life, too. That's why I'm so glad I get to come here to church and hear about the grace of God, because we don't have to be perfect for God. Our reading from Proverbs today, we heard, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." God knows what's good for us, and he's here to help us.
You are absolutely right, Amy. And you know what? The Bible is filled with God's great and wonderful advice on how to live and balance out our lives.
It does always make me feel better when I look to God for direction. I think my life goes more smoothly than when I try to do everything on my own. At least I feel like I can handle things better when I consider God's word.
That's why this year for our theme, both in worship and also in Sunday school, is holy wholeness. We'll be looking at many different areas that are important in leading a whole and healthy life. To being a healthy person, we're also going to hear what God has to say about each of those. And we hope that this will help all of us.
So we have this wellness wheel, which was developed by the ELCA to help us lead more balanced and healthy and whole lives. There are different spokes that go around the wheel, and spiritual well-being goes around the whole thing. And we have our very own wheel that Mari Yakes made for us that we'll be using with the Sunday school kids and throughout the year to help us remember all these different areas.
And so for the course of the year, Most months, one Sunday a month, we're going to dedicate to one aspect of the wellness wheel. And next week, you are going to hear about intellectual well-being. God has given us this wonderful thing called a mind. We've always heard a mind is a terrible thing to waste. God calls us to use our minds in powerful, Christ-like ways. I will always remember that the very first class I was ever in at seminary, the very first thing that came out of the professor's mouth was this. The Lutheran Church was born in a university setting. He said, God gave us brains, and he expects us to use those brains in his service. That's why I love this verse from Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Instead of stumbling around in the dark, God gives us the light.
In October, we'll focus on that overarching theme of spiritual well-being. On the wholeness wheel, it goes around everything. And that's because our spiritual well-being affects the other areas of our lives. Giving some attention to our spiritual side gives us life, as it says in Romans 8. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Then there are people we all know who say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. What does that mean? In the sermon, we'll look at what spirituality is and how we can respond to people who say they're spiritual but not religious.
In November, we're going to talk about financial wholeness. Now, when you hear those words, what do you think of? Do you think about having more coming in than you need to have going out. Or maybe for some of you at this time in your life, you think about financial wholeness being having enough money to pay for extended education, either for yourself or maybe someone else in your family. And for some of us, when we think about financial wellness, we're already thinking about what we will have left for our retirement years. Well, this in our lessons in the Bible, Jesus loved to use real examples to teach those. And the actions of the widow that came to the temple was a perfect example for Jesus to teach a lesson to his disciples about financial wellness. The widow in the story had lots less coming in than she needed to put out. She had no money to think about any training or higher education, and she had absolutely nothing for retirement. And yet Jesus saw her as financially healthy. The widow knew exactly what she was going to do with the last two coins she had. She knew the joy of giving to the work of God. It's when we stretch ourselves, it's when we sacrifice to help those in need that we know true joy. As mentioned in Psalm 41, happy are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in the day of trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. They are called happy in the land.
In December, we won't have a theme as we'll be focusing on Advent. But in January, we'll talk about emotional well-being. Depression is a big issue in our world today. Many of us have been through that. None of us escape times of loneliness, of hurt, or dealing with conflict, and they take a toll on us. In January, as we talk about emotional wellness, we'll also tie into our Stephen Ministry program, lifting that up. And Stephen Ministry is our program of one-on-one caring for others in the name of Christ. Our emotional state matters to God. The writer of Psalm 30 says, O Lord God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have clothed me with joy. There are many places in the Bible that talk about strong emotions, and we need to focus on our emotional health too, because that can have a huge impact on our life and our faith.
Then comes February, and we talk about vocational wellness. You know, we would be in big trouble if everyone felt a call to being a part of a church staff who would do all the other important work that needs to be done. But we do all receive the same call, and that's the call we receive in our baptism, to be lights in the world, to reflect and show back the glory to God. Tabitha, or also called Dorcas, she grew up knowing that she had a skill, and that was to be a seamstress. That was a gift that she had, and she enjoyed doing it. She grew up in the time of the early Christian church. We don't know if she made money sewing, but we do know that she used her skills in sewing for the poor and the needy. The work of her hands brought joy to many others, and that brought joy to Dorcas. She did what she could to make the world a better place. That's what we are called to do.
Then comes social well-being. There are a lot of parts of faith that fit in with this. Community was very important to Jesus. He established the church and talked a lot about caring for each other. Forgiveness, praying for our enemies, welcoming the stranger, dealing with those who are difficult for us. The Bible has a lot to say about how we relate to each other. When Jesus was gathered with his disciples on the night before he died, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater life than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father." Our friendships and relationships to others can benefit from hearing and following the words of our best friend, Jesus. In April, we won't have a theme. We'll be focusing either on Lent or on our church play. But in May, we'll wrap our year up.
We'll talk about the one we all like so much, right? Physical well-being. Because let's face it, some of us, we love exercise. Others, not real high on the list. But our bodies are a gift from God, and they are to be taken care of and nourished so that we may not just have a good life, but so that we may serve the Lord and serve others. And I love this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul reminds us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, given to us to serve the Lord.
To go along with our wellness wheel, we also remember as we go throughout the year that the center of all that we do, of all our well-being, of all our lives, is our baptism, that we are made new creations in Christ.
And that whole idea of a new creation comes again from the Apostle Paul, where he says that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are God's ambassadors to the world. And that new creation, as Pastor Heidi said, comes to us when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Here are the words again from Martin Luther that we used in our prayer this morning. This life, therefore, is not godliness, but the process of becoming godly. Not health, but getting well. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise.
We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it is actively going on. This is not the goal, but it is the right road. And to help us as we go down that road, we have our top 10 list of the best practices for health and wellness.
Number 10, pray daily. Maybe something's frustrating you, or maybe you have some fun news that you want to share. For many of us, the first thing that we do is grab our cell phone to talk to someone about it. But we all know that we have a system that's even easier than emailing, calling, or texting someone. No electronics are needed, and it's a no-cost plan. And you know, it's called prayer. I'd like to have us stop for a moment and imagine that we have to go a very long time without talking to the person that means the most in our life. It's not a pleasant thought, is it? Now let's think again about what place we've given God in our life and how often we talk to God.
Number 9 on the top 10 list is to practice and seek forgiveness. I bet every one of us here, we know about that awful feeling in the pit of your stomach when you have a relationship that has been damaged, when you need to forgive someone or someone needs to forgive you. Jesus calls us to live forgiveness. Remember, as he hung on the cross, dying, he prayed for God to forgive the people who were killing him. If he can do that, we can certainly forgive one another.
Equip yourself to use your gifts effectively to proclaim and live out the gospel in the world. Do you ever feel tongue-tied when someone asks you about your faith? You're not alone. Even if you've gone to church your whole life, it can be hard to think of how to explain faith to others. That's why educating ourselves on faith is so helpful. This year, we hope you'll work to equip yourself to share the gospel. Maybe going to a Bible study, reading your Bible at home, or serving in some new way that helps you live as God's child and a servant to all.
Number 7. Develop healthy habits to keep your wholeness wheel in balance and to be fit for a ministry of service. Some habits seem to come naturally. Unfortunately, some that do are the ones we wish we didn't have. And then others we really need to develop and work on. And the earlier in our life that good habits are begun and practiced, the better chance that we have for those habits to stay with us our whole life. That's especially true when it comes to worship and Christian education. As Pastor Heidi just said, this would be a great year to expand or develop further some healthy habits. And like family, we are here to to help encourage each other to keep our good life habits.
Next on the top 10 list is something Martin Luther loved, vocation, what we do. Because Luther stressed that no matter what you do in the world, you are to do it with your faith and all the skills you have so that you may serve God. We'll hold up through the year how our lives, our occupations, no matter what they are, how they are called to be done in the service and the glory of our Lord.
Honor your father, your mother, your father, siblings, spouse, and children with your love, respect, and time. When we are healthy and well, we treat others better too. When we have healthier relationships, we feel better too. It's a circle. It's like Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. Good relationships with those closest to us help us to be healthier and happier all around.
Number 4, honor your body as a gift from God and temple of the Holy Spirit. Feed it healthy foods and build your physical and emotional endurance with regular physical activity. As Pastor Paul says, the Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that we would like to forget that. If I put things in my body that I shouldn't, if I don't eat healthy foods and take the medicine that I should, if I abuse my body or I allow someone else to abuse it, it hurts God too. So, look at the picture on the screen. I have 2 healthy legs. I have a comfortable pair of tennis shoes. I have a treadmill in my basement. And I have excuses for not taking the time to exercise. So what do you think? Which one of those would God want me to give up?
Number 3 on our top 10 list is also number 3 on God's top 10 list. It is the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I just preached on that 2 weeks ago, about the importance of regularly coming to worship our Lord, to give him praise and glory, to hear his word, to be strengthened at the Lord's Supper, to come and receive the sacrament of holy baptism. This week, a colorful mailing is going out to every member at Grace, stressing the importance of regular worship. What a great and healthy habit to have.
Number 2 is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Be an example of self-care as well as caring for others. As we heard in the gospel, love is important. Love of God, our neighbor, and ourselves. We can't love others if we don't love ourselves. We can't take care of others if we are sick. God wants us to be healed, whole, and healthy people. As Martin Luther said, it's a process that we're always working on. We're here to encourage and support each other, and that includes working together to be as whole and healthy as we can be as individuals and as a congregation.
And drum roll. The number 1 best practice for health and wellness is love God with all your heart,
with all your soul,
with all of your mind,
and with all of your strength.
Had to put that one in today, folks. But that is what the Great Commandment calls us to do and to be, people who love God and love others with everything we have.
So we pray, really pray, that this will be a good thing for us individually, for us as a congregation. We pray that you this year will be able to improve your life in many areas so that you are a more healthy, whole, and holy person so that you can serve God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So take a moment now to pray to God, to ask for help and guidance for you in your life of where you can improve so that you can serve and love the best that you can. Amen.
Amen.